Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 620. It's the 25th of October 2016 on the podcast today. I have Amit Ben-Haim, CEO of CloudTag, CTAG, answering private investor questions. And there was a lot of them. We had to cut them all down. We had about 80 questions submitted. So I've cut them down to the most popular questions. There's a lot of duplicates in there. So Amit answers those. Also on the podcast, Dr. Clifford Gross, chairman of Tech Capital, TEK, talks about today's news, which is Bellascura Limited has concluded an oversubscribed private placement to raise approximately $675,000. Gives the valuation to Bellascura of $5.25 million US. And Tech owns 65% of the share capital of Bellascura. Also, I have, as always, top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. No surprise at number one, but there are some new entries in the top five there. I've also got the top three most liked RNSs on the Vox Markets website this morning. And today's suggested one for your watchlist is Sepura, submitted by SCPU, by the way, ticker. Submitted by, in fact, I can't say that name, because I think it's a bit of a rude one. But I will read out the submission and why this guy, I assume is a guy, has suggested you add Sepura to your watchlist in a bit. By the way, next week I'm interviewing Harvest Minerals, and I will be putting a link on the blog here. If you want to ask questions to Brian McMaster there of Harvest Minerals, HMI is ticker, then please click the link here at voxmarkets.co.uk/blog and submit the question, and I'll put them to Brian next week on the podcast.
The Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Amit Ben-Haim, CloudTag CEO. Thanks for coming back on, Amit.
Good morning, Justin, and thank you for hosting me on Vox platform.
You're welcome. It's, you know, you're hugely in demand, fella. No, I'm going to say that.
That's very kind, and I'm flattered.
And I think almost a record amount of questions we've had submitted from private investors. We'll get to those in a bit. But as always, for people new to the podcast or have never heard of CloudTag, then could you give us a brief roundup as to what you're all about, please?
Sure. Maybe we start like just a recap since our last podcast, which was 22nd of September. So again, you know, just in bullet points, I would like to summarize what happened since, and it is less than a month or just a month. So the team has grown quickly since we last spoke, and the notable additions include Bev, the sales director, and Yuval. Yuval John is the chief business development officer and is currently fully engaged with the B2B business side of the company, both in the UK and the USA. And as such, he is just over a month with the company, and I can see all the links and the progress he has achieved thus far with a very strong list of US corporation and national healthcare bodies, and I believe news will flow, and I hope very soon. Bev, the sales director, started showing results on the B2B2C front, and it is pleasing to see the rapid development he has achieved since 12th of September. If we continue down the line, you know, obviously work with cities in the USA is going very well, and the team members and myself are scheduled for more visits between now and early December. Work with CES is progressing very well, and I will go through that later on. Obviously, everybody asking the questions, and I appreciate that. Meanwhile, the creative team under the direction of Pete Griffith continues to gain momentum and is seemingly growing day by day with key focus on user interface, design, marketing, and branding. And all of this is in line with my strategy of launching simultaneously in the USA and in key countries in Europe, notably UK, Germany, France. And follow then that after that is obviously there will be the rest of EU, obviously not every country, but the main ones that can deliver sales to us. I think it takes time for these recruits to get under the skin of the company, and I look forward to seeing their fruits and their labor, and it's not too distant future. I think people noted that I have attended our shareholders' IMAC Technology Forum in Baltimore in early October and added more B2B contact opportunities with leading Dow and NASDAQ companies that could afford CloudTag market opportunities as we go forward. Again, the team both in London and High Wycombe, as you know, we have two places. The team in High Wycombe is our research performance unit, are working flat out to meet my set strategy for 2016 and quarter 1/17. And I'm very proud of the results, which will be revealed to the market as a whole in due course. I know we have set a record in development and innovation and kept the market abreast of our rapidly evolving state of play. However, we are now approaching the year end and all the teams are busy driving their respective year end goals, hence some reduction in news flow. But rest assured, Justin, we will advise the market through RNSs upon conclusion of any important milestones. And last but not least, of course, CES is coming up on the 5th of January. And there when we'll show products and themes will be revealed to the market. And again, we have taken another stand in ISPO 2017, which is in Munich. ISPO is the leading international sport business exhibition and the global platform for the sports industry. So yet again, we are going to be there. So this is very much what we've done. Have achieved since our last podcast.
Wow, you sound like you've been busy.
We are very much so, Justin.
Okay, well, let's get to the questions. I understand some of them you may not be able to answer, but hopefully you can explain why. But we've had about 80 questions, which is a lot, and I've got them down into the most 10, basically, popular. And so
thank you.
Let's start with number one there. It says, you used the word imminent in your last interview. In a one-word answer, will the product be in shops for Christmas, yes or no?
Justin, you just put the preamble. I cannot comment on the above, as the only way we can announce it is via RNS. And by the way, we are not asleep. What I can say, perhaps on the word imminent, we are working with the retail partners, as particularly the e-tailers, to line up products this year.
Okay. All right. Good. Question two. There's been a series of articles undermining the deal with a second chance as a scam. Their recent article amounts indicate that they are unable to honour the 5.2 million agreement. Can you provide some clarity on this?
Sure. I think you know, as much as I am not going to run any commentary on tweets and or any other social media unverified information, I can only say that, you know, this is a solid company specializing in technology-related sport products with a great relations with most retailers and e-tailers. But I think the most important thing for people to perhaps appreciate, which we put it in the RNS, just to remind the followers, Second Chance is our customer, and as such, they are processing the orders on behalf of the retailers. So they, in a way, not only they, you know, introducing us, doing all the work on the groundwork, their position financially is neutral because they pass it on to us.
Okay, I understand, yes. All right, next question is, what is the likelihood of a JV or takeover in the next 6 months? If so, is it with Microsoft? Now, I've seen Microsoft mentioned a lot in connection with CloudTag, so any comment?
Wow. Well, Justin, any answers to this question will be forward-looking statements, which I am, you know, debarred from. But it is evident that I am building a world-class team in the company, one that along me can bring current and future products successfully to the market and build an ongoing sustainable business. I made my views very clear as to the progression of the company. And, you know, what can I say? I like your followers' expedience, 6 months, and I would like to match his timetable on any company's business developments and deals.
Yeah, did I read somewhere that Microsoft is stopping it? Are they stopping their fitness?
Yes. They have withdrew the product. And now, whether they're coming up with another device, I'm not so sure. Whether they are soul searching, I'm not so sure. Whether they are interacting with third-party companies, I'm not so sure either.
Okay. Next question. The share price and market cap has exploded recently. Do you feel the company is overvalued given no product? What price would you like to see the shares at next year?
Well, first, it has not exploded. It just went up to above the IPO level. Secondly, when you say no product, you mean on the shelves or with the e-tailers. So these are kind of, you know, two preambles. As much as I do not make comments on our share price, and of course I am of the opinion that there is more room for growth in line with the company's commercial progress, I will say that, you know, in signing off this question, you know, when one says overvalued, this must be against a benchmark. Who is our benchmark? And I will suggest, with due respect, to look at our cousins in the USA, for benchmark guidance. However, this is my own personal viewpoint, and I hope and I know that there is more juice in the share price going forward.
Yeah. Okay. Next question. Does Peter Griffith still work for Microsoft, or does he officially work under a CloudTag?
Peter has been employed by CloudTag since 1st of August 2016. That was an RNS issued on that day. Not only he works for CloudTag as an employee, but a long list of other very prominent ex-Microsoft and Nokia people have joined us as employees of CloudTag, assisting the company in all departments of creativities.
Okay.
So, yes.
Yeah. No, that's fine. Yeah.
Yes.
Next question. The RNS of the 12th of September stated the Second Chance is currently discussing the award of exclusivity period with three potential major retailers and e-tailers in the UK. The RNS on the 9th of June stated the Second Chance were concluding initial product delivery requirements with seven UK-based retailers. Why the disparity in numbers? Are Second Chance experiencing difficulties in securing those deals?
First, no disparity. Two, this is a very simple strategy to go to market. So it is working like a funnel. You start with more and home on fewer players. So while in line, you know, we expect all of the retailers and the e-tailers in the original RNS to stock the product. But there are three front runners who are able to stock the product from day one. And you know, at the end of the day, it is a decision for Second Chance, along us, I take it, to decide who are the first people that are going to stock the product, what are the reasons behind it, what the company may gain as a marketing exposure through their work, and whether at the end of the day, the most important thing, this is the right platform for us. And I can tell you, and I've said that before in many times of interviews, to me, to date, we have not been to one retailer or e-tailer who said to us, guys, I have many products like that. I don't need more dust on the shelves. Every retailer and e-tailers we have visited have said, we see the differentiation. We appreciate the product. There is a market for your new sector that you're creating, the weight loss. Can't wait to stock you.
Okay, good. All right. Next question. Is the product today still the same as the product last March? If not, what has changed and why?
Well, first, I think the follower who sent the question means this March, as not last year, and the answer is no. And the reason why, it's our aim and goal is to deliver the best possible medical-grade consumer goods that provide meaningful and relevant data to the consumer at a very low and affordable price. I mean, this is very important points. Because we're dealing with the public here, we're dealing with a public that needs help. Hence, we have developed a better algorithms, providing greater accuracy across a wider range of activities, and this will be released in certain RNSs coming forward. Improved on user interface and user experience, improved on design aesthetics and high quality materials, thanks to, you know, obviously Pete and his team. And not to mention, you know, increased hours between charges with a better non-exploding batteries. So I only hope that people would love it, the product, and the app, once it is revealed. And we're always striving to get a smarter, better, more efficient product to the market.
Yeah. Okay, next question. You sort of touched on this at the start. Any new members joined the CloudTag team since the last podcast? If so, what will they be doing?
Yes, we had several people joined us, and mainly in the two areas that I'm kind of, you know, investing highly is in the technology section, both recruits in the UK and Israel, as well as on the creative side, and more to come soon.
Okay, and the last question here, Amit, is how many CloudTag devices are built ready for sale?
Well, I won't give the number because it is commercially sensitive, but to conclude, we will have more than enough products to satisfy any increase in order taking going all the way to the end of quarter one 2017. And, you know, I appreciate the questions of the followers, and I assure you and your followers of our determination to fulfill our commercial missions that I've set out this year. We are not asleep. We are hard at work. We are an amazing company. This is a technology. This is an unbelievable breakthrough in technologies in this sector and more to come. However, we have to abide by the market's regulations. And when we have an announcement, it will be done through an RNS to the market.
Marvellous. Well, I've got to say, Amit, recently CloudTag became the most followed company on the Vox Markets website, overtaking 88 Energy. But I always like to, you know, encourage you to get the chance to give more people the chance to follow you. So if you could you give us three reasons why someone should hit that follow button next to your name on the Vox Markets website, please?
Sure. The only digital health wearable platform on AIM as a listed company, fast-growing IoT company, clear strategy for growth, both in the B2B2C and B2B, with clear market entry strategy.
Marvellous. Amit, lovely to chat to you again. I'm sure this podcast will be well listened to by your followers and shareholders. And listen, I look forward to speaking to you next time.
Well, the next time will be a bit longer because I'm just about to go on a world tour. I'm starting with Malaysia, going to see our factory, moving to Hong Kong, meeting hopefully a very important partner for us, moving then to the United States, meeting with the cities, California then after, Austin, Texas, and back to the UK. I hope to do everything in 2 weeks.
Wow, you're clocking up the mileage there. Yeah, excellent. Well, listen, wherever you are in the world next time, let's chat, all right?
Excellent. Justin, thank you very much again, and thanks for your followers, and I appreciate the questions.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Dr. Clifford Gross, Executive Chairman of Tech Capital. Ticker there is T-E-K. Clifford, thanks for coming back on.
It's a pleasure, Justin. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. And, you know, thank you for getting up at an ungodly hour there. It's before 6 a.m. in the morning there. We're in the U.S. What part of the U.S. are you in, Cliff?
I'm in Miami.
Oh, nice. All right. Listen, is the weather nice? Have you woken up to a nice sunset?
The sunrise hasn't occurred yet.
But sunrise,
it's
sorry,
on
yes.
On the horizon.
Oh, there we are.
And, the day looks very pleasant. It's a beautiful time of year here.
Yeah. Sunrise, you should say, yes. Okay, so nice bit of news out today. We'll get to that in a bit. But for people not aware or haven't heard you on before the podcast, could you give us a sort of a brief roundup as to what Tech Capital is all about, please, Cliff?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Tech Capital is an intellectual property services company focused on bringing potentially disruptive university technologies to the marketplace. And we augment that with a family of intellectual property services. And this is all based around a global network, an electronic network that we have built that captures the intellectual property from the top universities of the world. Currently, we're acquiring information on technologies available for sale and license from about 4,500 institutions across 160 countries. So this is really the first time the entire set of universities globally has been rationalized, and we're able to extract from this electronic network what we feel are the best and most promising technologies for commercialization. And then we've also offered a range of services that help our clients create value from these technologies. So that's the essence of what Tech Capital is about. And in the last 20 months, we've acquired the rights to 53 properties leveraging this network. And we've also expanded our services business and have completed an acquisition of an additional company called the Vortex Group. So Tech Capital is on the move. We're expanding our footprint in the university intellectual property services sector. And we're very excited about the direction of the company and, of course, about the news that came out this morning.
Yeah, do you know what? I think there's a phenomenal amount of numbers there. Like you said, 4,500 universities, and you've got 53 patents there. And I know there's certain other companies in it that are listed. And to be honest, their market cap is a lot higher than yours. And I find that extraordinary. And they don't seem to have the breadth and depth of IP sort of ground that you have. You know, I mean, do you see yourself? I mean, obviously you are the chairman, so you're going to say yes. But, I mean, there seems to be a great disparity between you and those guys, don't you think?
Well, that's very kind of you, Justin. We feel that there's great potential in what we have built and what we're continuing to build. And over time, we believe that that will be seen in the marketplace.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's look at today's announcement, which was the private placement for Bellascura, which was for $675,000. Can you explain Bellascura, please, the background to that, and where you're going with this, please, Cliff?
Sure. We're really enthused about Bellascura and its direction and its management, quite frankly. Bellascura is a portfolio company of tech capital, which we currently own approximately 65% of the share capital of. Today, we're announcing a private placement of $675,000 from sophisticated investors. And that's a second tranche of an announcement that we made back in June of $1.5 million that we raised. So bringing the total amount of invested capital into Bellascura to $2,175,000. And based on the number of shares outstanding, Bellascura has a post-money valuation of $5.25 million. What Bellascura does, though, is the interesting story. Bellascura basically is rolling up undervalued medical devices from leading medical device companies. These are medical devices that are already fully developed. They have either clearance or regulatory approval, at least in one major market. They've had a history of sales, but they've been deemed to be non-core in many cases because major medical device companies have really raised a bar on what the types of products that they like to focus on. So whereas in the past, a medical device company might find a product that's doing a couple of million in sales to be quite fetching, today that bar is up to 20 million or 50 million in some cases. And so the smaller products are getting culled from the major medical device companies around the world. And so we have developed this very unique sort of roll-up strategy in the medical device sector. And we think that's it's very timely because it has the ability to provide great value to hospitals around the world because we don't have to amortize the very expensive R&D costs and regulatory costs. They have already been expensed by the companies that have developed these products. So we feel that we could offer a range of products at favorable prices to hospitals around the world using this roll-up strategy. And then we're augmenting that strategy by acquiring the rights to technologies that have been substantially developed and require very little additional investment. So we think Bellascura is really meeting the need of the hospitals around the world right now. We're very excited about the direction of the company, and we're pleased to announce the completion of the private financing rounds that we started in June. And we're looking forward and exploring a listing on the London markets in the first half of 2017.
Wow, so that's quite an exciting time. I'm just, you know, while you were talking there, I was trying to listen, but I'm also just looking at the balance sheet you've got and the patents and this interest here. And I'm thinking, you know, I mean, I don't hold stock, but I'm saying, because you don't need cash. I mean, I'm looking at your last year, final year, and it's showing 3.7 million there. You've got 2.8 million pretty much in Bellascura. You've got 53 patents. And so it's almost like you are a bit of an undiscovered company. Do you feel that in a way?
Well, we think we're a unique company in the university intellectual property space. So, which is why it might be a little difficult for some investors to understand the value. But once they drill down, we're confident over time that value will be realized and represented in the marketplace.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously, Bellascura is quite a, you know, up front now, you know, a focus there, a priority to you as well. But, you know, I mean, of those 53 paints, which would you say, how many are close to sort of commerciality? And I mean, is it possible to say that or not?
It's difficult to say it in earnest without being in error. but because there's so many opportunities that we're negotiating with right now. But I think what we can say is we have in earnest acquired a portfolio of very compelling technologies, and we're negotiating with a number of tier one players, which are global 1000 companies, to acquire and commercialize these technologies on our behalf. And when we consummate transactions with these companies, We feel the value that we will bring to tech capital will be oversized compared to our investment cost in any one of those properties, and in fact could be worth potentially more than our market capitalization.
Yeah, I'm just going to say that. Surely, I mean, like I said, this rigorous process you have, the process of valuing this IP, and so surely if one takes off, that could potentially dwarf your market cap, couldn't it?
Yeah, well, we believe that to be the case. And, you know, we have the technologies are exciting. Otherwise, we don't acquire them. Obviously, they have to be exciting to us. But they have to be more than that. They have to be potentially disruptive. And if they work, they could really make a difference in their marketplace. And so, for example, we acquired the rights to a technology that allows baked food to look and taste fried to reduce the fat consumption in quick serve restaurants and other foods that are prepared. So we're negotiating with a number of companies right now with that technology. We recently acquired a technology called Microsalt, which is nanoparticle-sized salt crystals that are all natural, but because they're small, they dissolve on the tongue faster, which gives a sensory perception of saltiness to the brain that's larger than the amount of salt that's being used typically. So you could reduce the amount of salt you have to use on the surfaces of products, such as snack foods, by up to 50%, which is very important because in the United States, for example, the U.S. Department of Agriculture has recently cut back the maximum recommended allocation of sodium chloride in the human diet. And so food companies around the world are looking now for new strategies to reduce salt consumption in an all-natural way. So we think Microsalt sort of addresses that need globally. So just as examples, if either of those technologies are successfully commercialized, and we believe they will be over time, then they could have very significant impacts to tech capital's financial performance.
Yeah, let me just throw this a spanner into the works here. So I remember seeing on the shelves reduced salt. You know, you could buy salt that's reduced. What's the difference between that and what you've got at the moment?
Yeah, most of the alternative salt reduction products use other types of salts, like potassium chloride instead of sodium chloride. Mm-hmm. The problem with potassium chloride is, one, it has a metallic taste, so you have to add other flavorings and maskings to that alternative, which makes it less natural. And secondly, for large numbers of people in the population, the consumption of potassium chloride is, especially in larger quantities, is potentially dangerous. People who have, impaired liver function, for example, diabetics, for example, et cetera. So, food companies are trying to keep their ingredient list as clean as possible. They're trying to go with, obviously all natural foods because that's the trend in the marketplace, and it's healthier for their customers. Mm-hmm. So what's nice about Microsalt is it's just sodium chloride. It's all natural. There's no additives to it. There's no additional chemicals in it. It's just a new manufacturing process that makes salt crystals, much smaller than a conventional salt.
Excellent. Okay, cool. Well, you answered that one. Right, Cliff, well, listen, if anyone needs any more convincing as to why they should add you to their watch list on the Vox Market site, could you give us three reasons, please, why they should hit that follow button?
Oh, yeah. Well, in addition to the value of our investment in Bellascura, which we've well covered, we've built the world's largest network of university research centers, about 4,500 institutions, and we're capturing from that massive idea factory compelling new technologies for our own portfolio as well as for our customers. So that's a real competitive advantage in our mind. We've acquired a very strong portfolio from our perspective of compelling intellectual properties, 53 to date. And we believe that the technology transfer of any one of these properties will add significant shareholder value. And currently we're in negotiations with a number of major companies that have expressed a strong interest in acquiring the rights to select properties. Our goal is to grow our IP services business concomitant with expanding our intellectual property portfolio. And we believe that the commercialization of select technologies from this portfolio should, over time, create real shareholder value.
Marvellous. Cliff, lovely to chat to you, and hope you have a nice day there ahead of you in Miami, and look forward to speaking to you again very soon.
Oh, thank you very much, Justin. Have a nice afternoon.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. They are at number five, Mayen Energies, MYN. At four, it's a new entry, Frontier Resources. At three, it's not a new entry, it's been there quite a lot, 88 Energy, that's 88. At two, a brand new entry, straight into number two, Oxford Pharma Science Group, OXP. And at number one, no surprise really, I interviewed the CEO today on the podcast to meet, it's CloudTag, CTAG. And here are the top three most liked RNSs on the Vox Markets website this morning. They were at three, Alba Minerals, Limerick update. At two, Kefi Minerals, update on discussions with government of Ethiopia. And at number one, the most liked RNS on the website this morning was from 88 Energy, and that's the execution of agreements for an 11 million Aussie dollar placement. All right, here is today's suggested one for your watch list. It's Sapura, SCPU, submitted by, I'll call him Jay. And what does the company do? The Sapura Group is a global leader in the design, manufacture, and supply of digital radio products, systems and applications developed specifically for business and mission-critical communications. 370 million shares in issue. Current share price, 14.75 pence. Market cap, 55 million. What revenue and profit and loss did the company generate? In their final results for the year ended the 1st of April 2016, revenue, 189.7 million euros, adjusted operating profit of 12.4 million euros, and pre-tax loss of 19 million euros. How much cash or debt does the company have? In their final results for the year ended 1st of April 2016, cash stood at 2.25 million euros, closing net debt of 119.4 million. And on the 14th of July, they raised 65 million pounds of gross proceeds at an offer price of 35 pence a share. There's three reasons why people should put this company on their Vox Markets watchlist. Reason one, new chairman and CEO are specialists in turning around companies. Number two, significant major shareholder base. And number three, easy, worth 35 pence all day long. All day long. Too much to write about, so do your own research. So listen, please, the last reason there is a fine line between ramp and research. And that's a bit rampy, but please do your own research on any company mentioned on the podcast today. Please do your own research. And I thank Jay for submitting this. And it looks interesting there. The placing was, you know, the money was 65 million, was raised at 35 pence, which is what current price is 14.75 pence. So very interesting there. Thank you very much. But please do your own research on any company mentioned. These are just ideas. And as you know, some ideas can be amazing. Some can fall flat in their face. So please do your own research. Thanks for listening. Much is appreciated. Don't forget, if you have a question for Harvest Minerals, click the link here and please, you know, go through the little questionnaire there and submit your question for Brian McMaster next week on the podcast. Thanks for listening. Much is appreciated.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.